We begin the current daf, Masechet Shabbos, daf Nun Gimel. We begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins discussing the Mishnah that we just ended on the previous daf, specifically regarding the first halacha that said that a chamor, a donkey, is allowed to go out on Shabbos to Rosh Hashanah with a mardas, with a saddle cloth. However, the Mishnah said, Bizman Shu Kasher, as long as it's tied on, then it's mutter. So the Gemara qualifies this halacha, Amar Shmu. This is only if the mardas, if the saddle cloth, was already tied on from before Shabbos. However, if it wasn't, if it was only tied on in Shabbos, that would be usur, wouldn't be allowed to be taken out into the Rosh Hashanah with the saddle cloth on its back. Tosfos gives two explanations for this halacha. He brings from Rashi later, which says that if it was tied on from before Shabbos, then it seems to be a malbush, part of the article of the clothing that the donkey is wearing. But if it's not tied on from before Shabbos, that would be considered a burden. It wouldn't seem intrinsic and necessary for the animal, because why wasn't it on before Shabbos? And therefore, it would be considered a burden which would be carrying and would be the isra of having the animal carry from one domain to another. Another explanation Tosfos gives is that if it wasn't tied on from before Shabbos, it would seem like that you're intending just to transport the saddle cloth from the private domain that you're into the public domain, because or else why wasn't it on before Shabbos? And therefore, it's not allowed if it wasn't tied on from before Shabbos. Either way, the halacha that Shmuel is saying is that our halacha of the Mishnah, that the mardas, the saddle cloth, is allowed to be taken out on the donkey on Shabbos, is only if it's tied on from before Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Amrav Nachman, Masnit Namideka, our Mishnah also implies that it's from Erev Shabbos and not from only on Shabbos. And this is a Mishnah later on in the Perek. The Ketani, as we learned, Eina Chamor Yoitzim Mebrandas Bizman She'en Kshurulai, that a donkey is not allowed to go out with a saddle cloth at a time when it's not tied onto him. So the Gemara explains, Hei Chidami, what is the case of that talking about? If that the later Mishnah is saying that the donkey is not allowed to go on the saddle cloth when it's not tied, and if it wasn't tied at all, it's pretty obvious you can't go out with such a saddle cloth on Shabbos. Like a lot of halachas regarding what you're allowed to carry or wear on Shabbos, whether a person or an animal, there's a concern that it might fall off and you might come to carry it. If it's not tied on, it's going to fall off right away, so of course you can't go out with it because we're concerned you're going to pick it up and carry it for Amos and the Shasarabim. Obviously, when it says later on the Mishnah that the donkey can't go out with the saddle cloth if it's not tied on, that means not tied on from before Shabbos. Obviously, the first Mishnah, which was our Mishnah over here on Nun Beis and Beis, that it was told me that it was tied on, it was told me that it was tied on from before Shabbos, and therefore we see clearly, like Shmuel qualified, that this, that it was tied on, that you're allowed to take out the donkey, was only for it was tied on from before Shabbos, but not on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Tanam Hachi, similarly in the Braisa, Chamor Yitzibi Mardas, Bizman Shekshulam Erev Shabbos, the Braisa says explicitly that the donkey could go out with the saddle cloth when it's tied onto it, if it was tied on from before Shabbos, but not if it was tied on Shabbos. Then the Braisa continues, B'loi Bu'ukuf, however, you're not allowed to go out with a saddle, Afa Pishekshulam Erev Shabbos, even though there, if it was tied on from before Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference because the saddle is not considered intrinsic and an article of clothing for the animal. Rather, it would be considered a maser, it would be considered a burden. And therefore, although it was already tied on from before Shabbos, it would still be considered that the animal is transporting and carrying something into Rosh Hashanah. However, no, even by a saddle, because the saddle also helps to warm up the animal, and therefore it's not considered a burden or maser. However, he does say, similar to like we said by the saddle cloth, Bizman Shekshulam Merev Shabbos. It's only if it was tied on from before Shabbos. However, he gives two conditions to allow the saddle to be transported out in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Again, if it was tied on from before Shabbos. And that is, Ubavach L'Yikshulay Masrichim. As long as you don't tie on to the saddle the breast straps. And that is because if you do that, then it seems like you really want to load it up on the saddle, a burden. And that would be also because you're not allowed to carry a burden on Shabbos. So therefore, it gives that impression you're not allowed to put on these masrich and these breast straps. And also, bavad, shaliyiv shalay ritsua tachas inovin. As long as you don't suspend the strap beneath the tail of the animal, that is the way to put a strap under the saddle, that the saddle shouldn't move forward when the animal is going downhill. It's going to be lurching forward, so you put the strap by the tail to keep it back. And similarly, the first case of shalik shalom masrich and the breast straps, the masrich, are that it shouldn't go, the saddle shouldn't go fall backwards on its tail when it's going up a hill. Those are the two different harnesses that they would use for an animal, both for going uphill and for downhill. Those two are forbidden because those are necessary when you're carrying a big load, which would be Aser on Shabbos. So therefore, although you're allowed to put on a saddle, according to B'Shem Gamliel, however, it's not allowed to have these straps because they give the impression that a person is using it for a load, for a maser, which is Aser on Shabbos. So now the Gemara continues on this topic of mardas, of a saddle cloth. He asked him the following question. What is the halacha? You allowed to put a saddle cloth on a donkey on Shabbos. Which is, we're not talking about going out to Rosh Hashanah, because that we just mentioned before, that it's usher to do on Shabbos, A, if it's not tied on, for sure you can't, because it's going to fall off. But even if it was to put on Shabbos, you're not allowed to tie it on Shabbos, as we mentioned before. It's only if it's tied up from before Shabbos. Rather, his question was regarding in the courtyard. The question is, because of the cold, you want to put a saddle cloth on the donkey on Shabbos. Is that permitted or not? So Amalei Muti says, you're allowed to put it on. What's the problem? However, Amalei, but then he asked him back, but v'chima ben zel okav, what is the difference between the saddle cloth that you're telling me that's Muti to put on the Shabbos, even in one's courtyard, but whereas a saddle, it's also to put on the Shabbos. So Ishtek, he was quiet. He didn't answer him. So Esvei, so he asked him, and that is, he thought the fact that he was quiet was because he didn't care the answer, because he held that even by a saddle it's permitted to put on a Shabbos. So what are you asking me? What's the difference between the saddle cloth and the saddle? Even the saddle is mutter. And therefore he asked him from a brisa that there we see that it's usher to take off. It's forbidden to take off the saddle on Shabbos. And therefore, if you can't even take off the saddle on Shabbos, definitely you're not allowed to put it on. And that is because when you're putting on the saddle, that has more of a reason to say that it's usher, because that seems like you're loading it up with a load, and that's a masa, which is usher on Shabbos. So therefore he asked him from the following brisa. Ukav shal gabi chamar. Regarding a saddle that's on the donkey, lo yital talen b'yada. You shouldn't move it with your hand. Rather, you have the donkey go to and fro in the courtyard, and it falls on its own. So therefore, he asked him, he says, Hashta lital amrit loim. From the brisa that we see that to take off the saddle is forbidden on Shabbos. So then to put it on Shabbos, would it be a question? Definitely you're not allowed to, because that's for sure only more, like we said, it has more of an impression of putting on the load, for sure would be also to put on Shabbos. And therefore, if an ukuf, if a saddle is forbidden to put on a Shabbos, so then why is it any different than a mardas and a saddle cloth that you said that you're allowed to put on Shabbos? What's the difference? Why would one be more usher than the other? So Amalei Reb Zeira Shafkir, Reb Zeira said, leave him alone. In other words, don't bother Reb Chiya Barashi with your question. Kirabi Svirle, he holds like his Rebbe, like Rav, and that's why he holds that to put on a saddle cloth on Shabbos is mutter. As we see, he says explicitly this halacha, Amrav Chiya Barashi Amrav, that he said this halacha in the name of his Rebbe, that Toilin Taraskal Behem B'Shabbos. A person is allowed to suspend a feeding bag for an animal on Shabbos. And that is, there was a bag that was full with barley, that they would tie it around the animal's neck, and it would put its mouth inside of it and it would eat. And this is just what's called Tainig Ba'alma. It's just pleasurable for the animal, that it shouldn't have to have the difficulty of bend down its neck to eat from the ground. And therefore, that was the halacha he said over from his Rebbe, that you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. But kavo chemel mardas, and therefore it's definitely that the saddle cloth is permitted to put on the animal on Shabbos, as the Gemara says, the logic. Uma hasam de mishum tainig, if over there by the case of the traskel, the feeding bag, where there what you're doing for the animal is just a pleasure for the animal. It's not something that's painful or necessary. It's just making it easier for the animal. And still shari, you're allowed to go ahead and do that exertion on Shabbos to make it more pleasurable for the animal. So hacha de mishum tzar, so here where there's pain, if you don't put on the saddle cloth, the animal is cold. So we allow you to put on the saddle cloth to warm him up. Lekoshkin, is it obvious that would be also mutter? And therefore we see that the reason why he held mardas was mutter, because he was going following the logic of his Rebbe of Rav, that he said that even something that's just for the pleasure of the animal, it's mutter. Definitely something that's tsar, that's pain for the animal of mardas, is going to be mutter. And the Gemara later on will address, so then what is different between that case and the ukif, we see in the braisa that ukif is also to move, even though it should follow the same logic, that even something for pleasure you're allowed to do for your animal. However, the Gemara says that this that Rav said, that both for tainig and for tsar, anything that's necessary for the animal, even just pleasure, is mutter on Shabbos, the Gemara brings an amara that argues. Shmuel amar, mardas mutter. Shmuel agrees that the saddle cloth is mutter to put on the animal on Shabbos because it's pain for the animal, and therefore that's what's called urchi b'hachi. It's something that's common usage of the animal, and therefore that's not considered a load for the animal to put on the saddle cloth on Shabbos. That's what you're allowed to. But traskel aser, but to put on the feeding bag, that's aser, because that's just tiny b'yama, that's just pleasurable, and therefore that's considered putting on a masoi, putting on a load on the animal on Shabbos, which is forbidden. So the Gemara brings a story related to this machleik between Rav and Shmuel. If again only tsar is mutter, that's mutter to do for the animal, but regarding tainig b'alma, just regular pleasure, that would be forbidden. Azra Reb Chiya bar Yosef Amr l'shmaita de Rav kamei de Shmuel. Reb Chiya bar Yosef went and he said over the statement of Rav that even traskel, even the feeding bag, is mutter on Shabbos, even though there's no tsar element there, it's just an element of pleasure. He said over in front of Shmuel, who he argues and said that only for tsar it's mutter and for pleasure it's asr. So Amalei, Ihachi Yama Abba, so Shmuel said, if this is what Abba, which is a phrase of saying my friend, that My colleague Rav says such a thing. That means he doesn't understand anything about the halachas of Shabbos at all, because it's not true. Something of tainig is not mutter only for tzat. Kisalik Reb Zeir, when Reb Zeir went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkichil Reb Yomid by Yefes, the Yosef Ka'amal Leib Shmed Reb Yochanan. He found Reb Yomid by Yefes that was saying the following statement from in the name of Reb Yochanan. Noisn Mardas Gabi Chamer B'Shabbos. You're allowed to put on the saddle cloth on a donkey on Shabbos. So Amalei Yisra, so he's Reb Zeir said to him, well said, V'chein Tirgim Ha'Ariyach B'Bavol, and so too Ariyach, where I'm coming from in Bavol, he said the same thing. Ariyach Manu, who is Ariyach? Shmuel, that's Shmuel. And Shmuel was called Arich because he was very proficient in laws, in judgment, and therefore he judged like a king who judges the whole earth. And that's the Lashon of Arich, is Lashon of Recha, which is the word for Melech, for the king. So therefore, he was saying, oh, Shmuel said the same halacha that you're allowed to put on the saddle cloth on Shabbos. Tosfos Gemara asked, Rav Nami Amr, Rav also said this halacha. Because if he says that Traskel, the feeding bag, is mutter, which is just pleasure, definitely held that Mardas, the saddle cloth, which is for the pain, is definitely mutter. So the Gemara says the reason why Reb Zeir told him that Shmuel said and not Rav, because he heard him concluding that statement in the name of Reb Yechanan, that ain't toil and traskel b'Shabbos. However, you're not allowed to suspend the feeding bag on Shabbos, which is not like Rav. On that, Reb Zeir told him, Amalei Yisher, well said, v'chein tirgim ha'arich b'bavol, so too Shmuel said, just like you, which again, that for pain, for those type of elements, that's mutter to put on Shabbos, which is the mardas, the saddle cloth, but for pleasure, which is the feeding bag, the traskel, that's going to be aster on Shabbos. So the Gemara concludes. The kula alma mias mardas mutter. However, everybody, both Rav and Shmuel, they agree that mardas, the saddle cloth, is mutter to put on the Shabbos. To which the Gemara asks, Maishna ma'ukav, why is it any different than the saddle which he brought from the brice, that it's forbidden to take off, and definitely you can't put it on, because putting on only has more issues, that it seems like you're trying to load him up with a burden. So what's the difference? So the Gemara gives a few answers. Shani hasam, the efsha denofa mamel. The first test the Gemara gives is that when the saddle is on the animal, it's different because there it could fall off on its own. As the Brisa says, so you have it go to and fro in the courtyard, and it falls off on its own. And therefore, that's why you're not allowed to take it off. However, that's only regarding taking it off, but you would be able to put it on. Even the Brisa would agree, because there it can't go on by itself. It's just that if it could happen by itself, therefore we don't want to make you go through that effort on Shabbos, because it could happen on its own. But really, there is no difference between the saddle and the saddle cloth, and both would be permitted to put on because that cannot happen on its own. Second Teretz Gemara brings is, Rav Papa Amar, kan l'chamamo, kan l'tzano. The difference is because here regarding the permission, the heter of the saddle cloth is because that's to warm up the animal. Whereas there, about the isra of taking off the saddle, that is to cool down the animal. That is, the saddle cloth is necessary to warm up, to heat up the animal. And that's mutter because of the pain that the animal has because he's cold. But regarding taking off the saddle, that's only because you want to cool him down because he got hot by carrying the load, which he carried from before Shabbos. And if you don't take it off, it's not such a bother because he's going to cool down himself. And therefore, that's similar, like we said, like the first tetz in the Gemara, which also the Isser would only be regarding taking off the saddle. But you would be able to put on the saddle on Shabbos, just like you could put on the saddle cloth, which is to warm up the animal. As the Gemara explains, L'chamamo isle tzara. To warm up the animal, there's pain. In other words, if he stays cold, the donkey, he's going to have the pain of the cold, and therefore it's permitted. L'tzanana, less l'tzara. But to cool down the animal, there is no pain. And that is, as the Gemara says, behind the Dami Inche, this is what people say, that chamer, that a donkey, a filibet kufis tamas, that even in the summer season, karirile, he's cold. And therefore, there is no real pain about when he got all heated up by carrying the saddle, because very soon he's going to get very cold anyway, because they're always cold, even in the summer months. So therefore, regarding taking off the saddle, that's usur on Shabbos, because there's no tzar. It's going to get hot, it's going to get cool anyway. Regarding putting on the saddle cloth where it's cold and it's always cold, that's permitted because it's going to have that element of tzar, and that's why it's mutter. And that's the difference between the saddle cloth and the saddle. But now the Gemara asks, according to Shmuel that said that only tzar is mutter for the animal, but just for timing bama, just for pleasure, it's usr. So the Gemara has mesve, it seems to be not like that. We learned lo yetze hasus bezon of shul, that a horse is not allowed to go out on Shabbos to Rosh Hashanah with a fox's tail hanging between its eyes. And that is to ward off the evil eye, the ayin hara. And now with a red strip between its eye, that's for decorative purposes, because these are considered burdens, a masay on Shabbos. And similarly, Leyotza hazav bekishale, that the zav is not allowed to go out with this pouch. That is, he would tie it by his male member to accept all the different things that would come out, the zav, to check to see if he was seeing or not. That's to be able to tell if he has the clean days that it could become Torah or not. And that pouch is also because that's not considered an article of clothing that's intrinsic to him. Rather, it's for something external to see if he has the zavanat. So that's also on Shabbos to carry in Rosh Hashanah. And similarly, a goat is not allowed to go out with a pouch on its udders, and that is to catch the milk that would be dripping out from the goat, or that the goat's udders should not be scraped and lacerated by the thorns because their udders are very large. Similarly, and the cow is not allowed to go out with a muzzle that's on its mouth, because they used to muzzle the cows that it shouldn't go ahead and pasture in the other fields, but when it got to where it's supposed to get, then they would take off the muzzles. And similarly, that colts are not allowed to go out with feeding bags around their mouth. And an animal cannot go out with shoes on its feet. That is, they would make these type of shoes made out of metal so that it shouldn't get hurt from the rocks, which is similar to the horseshoes. And it cannot go out with an amulet, which is a type of a writing, which is there to heal the sick. Even if it's been proven that it's effective, that has already had healed someone by that was wearing this amulet three different times, still the animal cannot go out with that on Shabbos. This is a stringency that an animal has that a person doesn't have, which the Gemara thinks right now it's going on the last case, which was the kameya, that we say later on Daf Samach Aleph Amin Aleph, that a person is allowed to go out with an amulet with a kameya that's been proven to be effective three times on Shabbos. And to understand this brisa, all the cases that we said that Lo Yiseitzi, not allowed to go out with them into a Shutzer Rabban, is because they're not necessary for the protection of the body. Rather, there's something external to consider a burden, and therefore it's something that you're carrying and it's not part of the person. However, the case of the shoes is intrinsic to the animal. However, it's just like a person's allowed to wear shoes. However, since it might fall off and you might come to carry it for Amos and Shutzer Rabban because it's worth money, you don't want to lose it, that's why we don't allow the animal to wear the shoes on Shabbos into a Shutzer Rabban. However, the Braisa concludes that there are things that the animal is allowed to go out with them into Rosh Hashanah. However, the animal could go out with a bandage that's on its wound, because there you're not going to say that it's going to carry it because it's not something expensive, it's just a regular bandage. Similarly, it could go out with splints that's on a fracture, that if an animal that breaks a bone, they would make two boards on either side of the limb, and they would wrap it around, and that would keep the bone in place, that it shouldn't move either way until it heals. Again, something that's not worth a lot of money, it's just two planks of wood. It could also go out with the placenta dangling out of the animal. If some of it came out, it's also okay. It could go out with that on Shabbos. And you could stop the bell that's hanging around its neck, and then it could go out with the bell. However, if the bell was not stopped up, then even in the courtyard, the animal cannot be walking around with the bell, because the bell inside, it rings and it makes noise, and therefore that's also to make that noise on Shabbos. So therefore you have to stop it up with some wool or with some cotton, that the bell shouldn't be dangling around inside on Shabbos. And then it could walk around with the animal in the courtyard on Shabbos. And that is with that bell, as long as it was stopped up. But even if it was stopped up, it would be also to go out with that into Rosh Hashanah, as the Gemara in Daf Nun Dalet and Beis says later, because that seems like you're taking it to the marketplace, you're dressing it up with the bell. So although the bell would be out mutter in the courtyard on Shabbos, if it was stopped up, that's only in the courtyard, but you can't take it out outside. And now the Gemara follows through with its question that it has on Shmuel from this Brice. Ketani Mias, but one thing we learned from this Brice is, V'loy siyachim b'traskolim shebepim Rosh Hashanah. We said the colts cannot go out with the feeding bags that are tied around its neck for its mouth to go out with that into Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos. So the inference is, Rosh Hashanah hudula, that the colt cannot go out into the public domain with that feeding bag. But in the courtyard it would be permitted. My lav b'gedoylim u'mishrim tainig. Can we not infer that it would even include a grown colt? And that is, you can have the feeding bag around its neck, and that's just for pleasure for the animal. And that is, we're talking about these elder colts, the big ones, that they have long necks, and it's not painful for them to bend down to eat from the ground. And still you're allowed to tie around the traskel, which is just makes it easier for them, pleasurable for them. And that's kasha l'shmul, that's difficult to shmul, that he said, that if it's just pleasure, that's going to be asra. And here we see that in the courtyard, you're allowed to have the colts to tie around the feeding bags around them, which is just tiny for the animal. And the Gemara says, loy, b'ketanim shem tzar, we're talking about younger colts. And there, for them, there's an element of pain because the younger colts, they have high knees, but their necks are short. Therefore, for them, it's very painful for them to bend down to the ground to eat. For them, for the colts, that's why we allowed to have the feeding bags for them in the courtyard, because there's an element of tsar, which is, as Shmuel said, that is mutter, but for tainik, for the grown colts, that would be aser, because that would be just tainik biyam. So the Gemara says, deikinami, that it can be inferred from the braisa also like Shmuel. Diktani, as we learned, and we continue on to Amud Beis, dum yudikameya, that it says it right next to the case, similar to the case of the amulet, which that's talking about a case of where the animal is not feeling well, which is sick, which is similar to the case of tsar. Shema mino, that we see that that's the element we're talking about, that we permit you to do things that for tsar and for sickness. However, if it's just for tining, which would be like the grown colts, which it's easy for them to do, it just makes it easier, that would be also, as Shmuel said, and therefore it's not challenging for Shmuel from the braisa, that only tsar is mutter, but for tining is also. So now the Gemara goes back to say the statement that we said, omemar, we mentioned before in the braisa, that the animal cannot go out with the kameya, with the amulet, into a shasarabim, even if it's been considered effective, it's not allowed to go out with it. To which the Gemara asks about Nantinam, but we learned in the Mishnah regarding a person, later on in Daf Samach Amud Aleph, we learned, we said that a person is not allowed to go out to a shasarabim with an amulet that's not been proven effective. However, the inference is, ha-mumcha shabadami. But if it has been proven effective, then the person is allowed to go out into Rosh Hashanah with that around his neck. And the question is, why is an animal any different than a person? It should have the same halacha. Rosh Hashanah says, ha-chinami, she'ena mumcha. Here we're talking about the animal that says he cannot go out with the kameya. It's talking about that it's not been proven effective, which is the same as a person. Rosh Hashanah asks, but b'ha'afa pishu mumcha katani. It said explicitly the animal cannot go out, even if it has been proven effective. Tushmur says, what? Mumchala adam vein mumchala behema. When it says, even though it's been proven effective, it means it's been proven effective that it's healed a person three times, but it's not been proven effective for an animal, and that's why the animal cannot go out, because animal and people are different. Tushmur asks, umika mumchala adam vein mumchala behema. Is it really true? Is it possible that it could be considered effective for healing people, but not effective for healing animals? Why should it be any different? Tushmur says, in. There is a difference. And the reason is because adam dis le mazla misayele. A person that has mazel, which means there's a malach, there's an angel that, so to speak, beseeches for him and protects him and watches over him, a certain something more than the animal. So therefore, the amulet together with that helps him. Behemoth, the lesli mazel, lemisayele, but an animal that doesn't have mazel, doesn't have this spiritual dimension that a person has. So therefore, the amulet itself might not necessarily help him. And therefore, although it's been proven to work for a person, maybe it's not going to work for an animal. And that's why, although it's been proven effective for a person, that's what we said, that it can't go out. But if it's been proven effective for an animal three times, it would be the same as a person, that it would be allowed to go out with it. To which the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, that an animal is allowed to go out with an amulet that's been proven effective for animals, so then what is this that the Braisa concludes and says? That this heter of the kameya is a stringency that the animal has more than the person, but it's no different because the person's also not allowed to go out unless it's been proven effective for people three times, just like an animal's allowed only to go out if it's been proven three times for an animal. So the Gemara says, "Mi sabrda kameya koi?" Do you think that this conclusion, this statement that concluded by saying that this is a stringency that an animal has more than a person, was going back on the last case of the amulet? No, there the animal and the person are the same. That if it's not been proven, you can't go out. If it's been proven, you could go out. However, a sandal koi was going back on the case right before that, which was regarding the shoes. And that's the chaymer that we said, that an animal is not allowed to go out with sandal shebergleo, can't go out with shoes on its feet. That is, although a human being is allowed to go out with shoes, however, an animal such as horseshoes cannot go out with it because we said we're afraid it's going to fall off and they carry it for amas and shusram. That is a chumra an animal has more than a person. But regarding the kameya, the amulet, it's all the same thing. So now the Gemara returns to this machlikas that we had between Rav and Shmuel, that if it's tsar or even tainig that's mutter to do for an animal on Shabbos, so the Gemara will try to bring, if it's even mutter, even tsar for an animal to do for him on Shabbos, as Rav and Shmuel both agree. Toshma. We learned that sachen, that you're allowed to anoint with oil, umafarchesin, and scrape, that is to scrape off the scabs of a wound, la'adam for a person on Shabbos. However, ain't sachen umafarchesin l'behema, but you're not allowed to anoint with oil and to scrape off the scab for an animal on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, my love, the ikamaka, wouldn't it be obvious that we're talking about that there is a wound over here, that's what you're anointing and you're taking off the scab, umishum tsar, and that there's pain, and still, in spite of the fact that there's pain, for an animal it's not mutter. And that's difficult both according to Rav and to Shmuel, that they both agree that it's mutter to put a mardas, a saddle cloth, on the animal on Shabbos because of the pain. And here we see yet that for anointing and doing all these things to help the sick person is only mutter for the person, not for the animal. So the Gemara says, Loi, the Gomer Maka Umishum Taini. We're talking about that the wound has already concluded. It's not there anymore. And here we're talking about that it's just for pleasure. That is, the wound already healed. And this anointing and this scraping off the scabs is just for pleasure. And therefore, it's not difficult. However, according to Rav, it definitely happens to be a question, because Rav says that even Taini B'Alma is Mutter. And the first mission that we mentioned regarding the saddle is also difficult according to Rav. Because although that regarding to cool it down, there's no tzar, but there is an element of tainik that it has. So therefore, how does Rav answer these two different tanoik statements, which seem to say that tzar is mutter, but tainik is aser? So therefore, Rashi says that Rav is tana hu palik. Rav is a tana, and sometimes he can argue in tanoim, and therefore it's not difficult according to the Rav. We have to answer for Shmuel the difficulties of tzar, but for Rav, he obviously argues on those two tanoik statements. So Gemara continues debating this question. Toshima. Regarding an animal that has a congestion of blood. So you're not allowed to place the animal into water so that it should cool down and that it should decongest the blood. However, a person that has a congestion of blood, you're allowed to put him in water so that he should cool down. And therefore, the difficulty over here is that we see that even though there's an element of tsar, it's still usur for the animal. That's difficult both according to Rav and to Shmuel, who both agree that tzar is mutter for an animal on Shabbos. So on this, the Gemara says that this case is different, that it's going to be aser, because Amar Ul Gezeirim Shem Shchikis Amamanim. Here, we made a preventive measure because of the grinding of the herbs. And that is, regarding things which are refuah, that they're medicinal, they're therapeutic, Vidra Abon Wa Gezer, because if we allow you to do any healing activities, then you might come to go ahead and grind the herbs, which in those days, that's how they made the medicines, they would grind the herbs, which is the issa deraisa of toichen, of grinding. And therefore, we didn't allow you to do any healing types of activities on Shabbos, because if we allow you to do refuah, you might come to do grinding herbs, which was how they made their medicine. They didn't have ready-made stuff in the cabinets. So therefore, we said, you don't do any refuah. That was the gzeir d'rabbanan. And that's why you can't cool down the animal in the cold water, although if it's tzar, you're allowed to, but when it comes to refuah purposes, that's us. To which the Gemara asked, then, Ihachi Adam Nami, if so, a person also should be Aser. As we know, there's a Gzera Refu, and I'll take medicine on Shabbos, that applies even to people. So therefore, if this is a Gzera of Refuah, why is a person allowed to go into the water to cool down? And that the Gemara says, because Adam Nirukam Maker, a person, when he goes into the water, he looks like he's just cooling down, which is similar to the Heter of Derech Brim, which is you're allowed to take a hot tea when you have a sore throat, although it's for healing it, but since regular people drink hot tea, so you're allowed to do that here when you're going into the water, although you're doing it for healing purposes, but people go into the water, they're going to cool down, so therefore it doesn't look like Refu, and there the Rabbanu were not goes. So then the Gemara asks, Yachi Behemin Nami Nirukam Maker. So then the animal also should be allowed to go into the water to cool down, because he also looks like he's just going to cool down, although it's being used for medicinal purposes of decongesting the blood. That the Gemara says, Ein Mekel Behema. There's no cooling down for an animal. In other words, it's not the way for animals to be put into water to cool down. People go swimming. Animals don't go swimming. And therefore, everybody knows the reason why you're putting the animal into the water is for refuah, for healing purposes. And therefore, since they see, oh, you're doing refuah, they're going to come to head maybe to grind the herbs to make their own medicines, because you see refuah is mutter, and they might forget and be over the issed deraisa teichen. And that's why for the animal that doesn't have this element of, like everybody else does this, it doesn't look like refuah, and therefore we made the gzer of refuah, that because you might come to shchik samanim, that's why you can't put him in the water to cool down. So again, although tsar is mutter, here in the case of refuah, it's going to be awesome. And that the Gemara asks, Ula behemah migazrinan, do we really make decrees for animals in a place where there's what's called mokum hefsed, where there could be a great loss, like in such a case where the animal might die? Do we really make and enforce certain gzeris d'rabbanan because of something that you might come to be over on another iser when there might be such a loss like this? But by the time you learn the braisa, it seems to conclude that if it's going to be a loss of, let's say, an animal, that they were not going to make certain gzeris. As the braisa says, if one's animal was standing outside of the boundary of Shabbos, and now the Gemara thinks that it's out of the person, the owner's boundary, where his animal was outside and he couldn't go that far because he's not allowed to walk past 2,000 amas out of your boundaries, and now the animal is past that. So what do? You can't go get it. You call to it and it comes. And you see that we don't decree that maybe you're going to come to take it with your hand, and that is you might be over on the Isra of Tchumen, that you're going past the boundary. And still we see, because it's a makam of hefsed, it's a loss of an animal, that you're allowed to call it. Although it should be, we should say that maybe you're going to go ahead and take it. And we don't say that. So therefore, why don't we say the same thing over here, that you're allowed to have the animal go into the water because it's a makam of hefsed, and we're not gezer that you might come to do things in refuah. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says, the case is not talking about out of the owner's boundary, because that might be us, or we might make such a gezeirah, even when there is a makom of chesed. Here we're talking about kagon shehoya tchum shalah, muv lebetoich tchum shalah, that the animal's boundary overlapped his boundary. And that is, when it said in the Brisa that it was out of the boundary, it was out of the animal's boundary. And that is because the animal that's given over to a shepherd, for that shepherd, the animal has the tchum of the shepherd now. And now this owner is calling to the animal, and the animal could go. For example, if let's say the owner had he made Shabbos next to the place where the animal was. So he can't go ahead and bring it with his hands, although it's in his tchum, because since the animal went out of the animal's tchum, so the animal only has four amas. So therefore, like any object that goes out of its tchum, you're not allowed to carry it. So therefore, although it's in the owner's tchum, but it's out of the animal's tchum, because the animal now follows the shepherd's tchum. However, you could call to the animal, and it could come, because he doesn't have the obligation of his animal's tchum. The animal is following the tchum of the shepherd, and the owner doesn't have the responsibility that if it's not it, for it not to be able to go out of its tchum, as long as it doesn't bring with his hands. So therefore, that's why this case was mutter. It wasn't out of the owner's tchum. If it was out of the owner's tchum, then it would be usher, because you might go ahead and bring it. And that we say is usher, just like we say that having the animal cool down, we make gezeiros even when there's a loss. But here we're talking about it's in the owner's tchum, it's out of the animal's tchum. And therefore, for that, you're allowed to go ahead and call it and have it come on its own, because there's no problem. As long as you don't bring it with your hand, you're not doing any isser, even if you would go to the animal. However, the Gemara says that another Amor argues about what we just said. This that we said that by an animal that we can't let it go into the water to cool down because it's going to be for healing purposes, and then you might come to grind herbs. This idea about maybe you're going to grind herbs regarding an animal that is an isra refuah is a machloikis tanoim, because there are those tanoim that say that we don't forbid and prohibit other healing things that you might come to go ahead and grind the herbs. As we learned, Tanya, we learned the Braisa as follows. Behema sha'ochle kershin, an animal that ate vetch, and it ate a lot of it. And because it ate a lot of it, it got sick. And now it has to let it all out, and it has to go out into the fields and let loose its bowels. Not let it make it run in the courtyard so that it should heal itself, that it should let loose, have loose bowels. And that is, we see, because that's the gzera like by every refuah, because you might come to grind the herbs. So that's the one who says that it's usser to do any healing things because you might come to grind the herbs. However, Boishi Yamater, Boishi says mutter, that's like what we said, that those that say it's permitted, and therefore according to Boishi, he would hold that even having the animal go down to cool down the water would be mutter, because we don't decree and we don't prohibit other types of healing things by an animal that you might come to do Shechikas HaMemon. And that the Gemara says, Darish Rava, Halacha Grei Boishi, that Rava said that Halacha is a Grei Boishi, and therefore it is mutter to have the animal do different healing things for it, and therefore it would be mutter for the animal to go and cool down into the water, because we're not geyser utter shchikas amemon, that you might come to grind down the herbs. So now the Gemara goes back to what we mentioned in Amud Aleph. We said in the Braisa, Amamar, lo yetze hazav bekishalei, that hazav is not allowed to go out with his pouch. And that is that he had a certain tumah that came out of his male member, and then he would have a pouch to be able to see that if anything more came out, to see that if he's tumah or if he's leading towards the days of becoming tar. And we said, and then we said that a goat's not allowed to go out with a pouch around its udders. And that is if it's to collect the milk, or that it shouldn't get lacerated by the thorns that's passing by because they had large udders. And that the Gemara asked, but we learned the Braisa that seems to say not like that. The Braisa says, that the goats are allowed to go out with the pouch around their udders. It seems to be a direct contradiction. So Rabbi Yehuda loy kasha. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's not a difficult. The case that said that it's permitted is that when it's fastened securely around the udders, and there you don't have to be concerned that maybe the pouch is going to fall down and that you might come to carry it. This, though, we said it's usser, and our Mishnah was talking that it wasn't securely fastened, and therefore we're concerned it might fall and you might come to carry it. And that the Gemara brings an Amora that argues on this teretz. Rabbi Yosef Omar, Tanoi Shaklet Me'ama, did you take away all the Tanoim from the whole world? In other words, did they all get lost, that you can't find any Tanoim that argue about this, that you have to say that these two Tanoic statements of the Mishnah and the Braisa, that they're both saying the same thing and that they're just different types of cases? Tanoihi. And this is the second pshat that Gemara brings. It's a machlekes Tanoim that it's brought down in our Mishnah. Remeah says it's mutter, and Biyasi says that it's usher. It's not, as we learned in the Mishnah. Ha'izim yaitzitzurus. The goats are allowed to go out tied. Rabbi Yosi Oyster Bekulin. Rabbi Yosi says that they're all forbidden. So we see directly that there's a machlokes tanoim regarding if goats are allowed to go outside or not. However, Rabbi Yosi says, although everything is aser, chutz min rechilas hakfunas, except for the use, for the female ones, that they can go out fast. And then the Mishnah concluded, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, izim yitzitzrus, the goats can go out tied, that's liyavish avaloy lechalav. He agrees to the Tanakama, however, he says only regarding that if it's to dry up the animal's udders, there where it's very securely fastened, that's not going to fall down and carry it. And also, it's not a burden because it's essential for the animal because the milk that comes out weakens it. And therefore, when you're tying it to dry up the udders, that's considered intrinsic and that's not a masse. But regarding the milk, that's considered a burden because it's carrying the milk in that pouch. That is going to be aser. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's only to dry it up that it's mutter, but for the milk, it's going to be aser. So therefore, that was the second teretz the Gemara gave, that it's a machlekes. It's not a difficulty. We have already the machlekes in our Mishnah. Whereas the first teretz says that, no, it's going according to one Tana, but it depends if it's securely fastened or not. Third teretz the Gemara brings is Viba Yisema, Havaha Rabbi Yehuda v'lo kasha. Both statements are Rabbi Yehuda and it's not difficult. Because kan liyavish, kan lechalav. The one that's talking about that it's mutter is if it's to dry it up, so therefore it's not considered a burden because it's intrinsic to make the animal stronger that the milk shouldn't come out. It's also securely fastened. Whereas the case of the milk, first of all, it's not securely fastened, and also because it could be considered a burden because you're carrying something. So the Gemara brings related to this that Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Arme Behuda Behuda says, Maisa be'izim based on Tuchia, there was an incident regarding the goats of based on Tuchia. Shahoyu dadein gasin, that the udders were very large and they would be dragging on the thorns and it would lacerate their udders. But aslan kisin kadesh liyisu to dadein, and therefore they made pouches for them that their udders should not be lacerated, that it shouldn't get cut. And that's similar to the heta that Behuda says regarding that if it's to dry up the udders. Similar here also, where since it's intrinsic for the animals to protect the udders and it's securely fastened, therefore it's permitted to go out with that on Shabbos. So now the Gemara brings, related to this that we said about having very large udders, so the Gemara brings other stories related to interesting stories about places of giving milk from the udders or from the breast. Tan Rabban, Ma'isa be'echad she'meisa ishtar. There was an incident where a person, where his wife passed away. V'nicha ben leinik, and she left over a child that had to be nursed. V'lohoy le'ischar menik leitin, but he didn't have any money to give for a wet nurse to feed his baby. V'nas le'ines, and a miracle happened for him. V'niftuchu lo'y dadin kishnei dadi isha. And his breast opened for him like the two breasts of a woman. V'heinik es benayi, he was able to nurse his child from his own breast. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, bo'y re'ei kama gadol adam zeh. Look how great this person is. Shanas Leineski says, what a miracle happened for this person that he was able to nourish just like a woman. Amalei Abaya Adirab. Abaya says, to the contrary. Kamagurua Adam Zeh, how inferior is this person. Shanishtana Lisidre Bereshis. Because the acts of the creation of the world had to be changed for this type of person. And that is, he didn't merit to have the regular, normal way of having money or sustenance to be able to feed his child. The creation had to be changed for him. That's something that's bad. That's inferior. So the Gemara comments on this. Amar Rav Yehuda, Bo'i re'ei, kama kosher mezaynet shel adam. Look and see how difficult it is for a person to have sustenance. Shenishtanu lav sidrei bereishis. That even to get sustenance, he wasn't able to get that. Rather, the creation of the world had to be changed for him to be able to feed his child. Amar Rav Nachman, Teder Rav Nachman says, you should know this, that it is so difficult to have sustenance to misrach hashnisa because miracles happen. From Shemayim, many times people's lives are saved. Unbelievable miracles happen. But food is never created. It's not such a common miracle that tzaddikim, righteous people, should go into the house and then suddenly food pops up on the shelves, that they find wheat growing in their storehouses, because that's more difficult. That is the regular way of living life, reality, the way Hashem created the world, which is the optimum. Here, this person had to have siddur bereishis changed for him. That's gerua. That's not optimum. That's not the way the world's supposed to be. The Gemara brings a similar story regarding someone that his wife passed away. Turn Rabban, Ma'aseh ba'adam echad shenasa isha gidemes. There was a story about a certain person that he married a woman that was missing her hand. V'lehikra ba'ad yoy ma'aseh, and he didn't realize that she was missing her hand until the day she died. So Amar Rav, Ba'ay re'ei kama tznu isha zu. Rav says, wow, look how tznu, how modest this woman was. Shalehikra ba'ayla. Her husband never recognized, she was so modest in her dress, that he never recognized that she didn't have her hand. Amalei Reb Chiya zu darka b'kach. Reb Chiya says, no. This, the woman, that is her way. Every woman covers herself. And for sure this type of woman, which she needed to because she had this handicap. Rather, how modest is this person, the husband, that he didn't recognize this by his wife? That he was modest, and he wasn't, so to speak, he didn't see those types of things. He saw the beauty in his wife. He saw he had the relationship. How tenua was the husband more than just the wife. So now the Gemara returns to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Zechorim yoytzen levuvin, that the rams can go out attached on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, my levuvin, what does it mean attached? What does it mean the rams could go out levuvin? So the Gemara gives a few interpretations. So the first pshat the Gemara brings is, Amrav Huna Tutri, it means that they were tied in pairs, that they would tie the rams in pairs that, two at a time, that they shouldn't run away. That's what levuvin means. To which the Gemara asks, my mashma dahai levuvin lishna de kruvehu. Where do we see it from the terminology levuvin that it means a term of closeness because they were tied two together? The Chesiv says a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, libavtani achoisi kala, you captured my heart, my sister, the bride. And that is, you made me close to you because of the beauty of your actions, of what you do. That's where we see the word levuvin means of coming close. So that's what it is, that they would make them close, they would tie them together. That's permitted to do on Shabbos. Second shot the Gemara brings is, Ula Amar, Oyer shekoyshin lehem keneged libam. It was a piece of leather that they would tie opposite the heart of the rams. And that's the word levuvin, that was from the word of lev. Kedesh liplu alem ze'evim, that the wolves should not pounce upon them. That's because the custom of the wolves were that they would pounce on the heart of where the animal is. So therefore, they would tie these pouches of leather opposite the heart of the rams. To which the Gemara asks, Ze'evim ascharm nafli and the kivis le nafli. We said that the rams, which are the males, they're allowed to go out with these levuvin. They could be tied around their hearts. But do the wolves only pounce on the males and not on the females? Why only the males? So the Gemara says, Mishum demaski bereish edra, because the males, they go at the head of the flock. And therefore, they're the ones that get pounced on. To which the Gemara asks, Vezeven bereish edra nafli b'seif edra lo nafli? Do wolves only pounce at the head of the flock and not at the back of the flock? What's the difference? So the Gemara says, El mishum deshamni, because the males, the rams, they're fatter. And therefore, the wolves pounce on them. The Gemara asks, but in the cave is like a shamni? Are by the females, they don't have any fatty animals? And the embasu miyadi bin hanal hani, do the wolves even know the difference between them, the front, the back? So therefore the Gemara says, the mishum dizakfi chutmayu umasku kitavi. Rather, the reason is why it's the males that the wolves pounce on is because when the rams are going in the front, they go with their noses up high, and they walk looking from side to side. And that is, they're looking around, and therefore the wolves are jealous. They're, so to speak, they think that the rams want to fight with them. They're looking around, and therefore the wolves get all heated up, and therefore they pounce on them. That's why it's the rams that you can put on this thing surrounding the heart, and not the females, because the wolves don't pounce on them. They pounce on the males, who instigate and begin to fight with the wolves. That was the second shot in what levuvin is, that it means opposite the heart. The third pshat the Gemara brings is Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, it's Or Shekushin Lehen Tachas Zechrusin. It's a piece of leather that they would tie on bottom of the genitals, Kedish LeYalo Al Nekevis, so that they should not mount on the females. They tie something around the male member of the ram so that it shouldn't mount and impregnate the females. And Taisa says that the word levuvin, although we just showed that it means closeness, a lot of times it means the exact opposite. There's many times in the Torah where we find that, like the word tashrish, although it means sharish, to mean to take root, it could also mean to pull out the roots. Similar here also, it means the opposite of closeness, that it prevents the ram getting close to the female. That's the word of levuvin. To which the Gemara asks, mimai, from where do we see that it means this idea? We understand it means not to get close, but how do we know it means to, so to speak, stop the male from mounting on the female? I mean, the Ketani Sefer, because from the fact that we learn that the Sefer, it says, V'herechelim yitzin shechuzes, that the ewes, the females, they can go out shechuzes, my shechuzes. What does it mean, shechuzes? Sha'ichzin ha'al yishalein lamala. The word shechuzes means that their tail is held up above on top. And the other reason is, kadisha yalolein zecharim, that the males, the rams, should mount on them. And that is, they would hold up their tails on top, that their genitals should not be covered. So therefore, Reisha, Kadesh Le'yal Nekevah. So that's what we see the logic is. The Reisha, which was talking about the rams, their levuvin, is that they should not mount onto the females. V'seifa, Kadesh Yalu Alein Zecharim. And the Seifa, which was talking about when they go out, then the females go out Shechuzas, is that the males, the rams should mount on them. And that's where we see that it's the same idea about if the males mounting the females or not. So the Gemara says, "My mashmat hayeshchuzis lishn de kuluyehu." Where do you see that the word shechuzes, which we're saying is that they held up sha'ichsin, but that it means an idea about exposing the female, that their tail shouldn't cover their genitals, rather it should hold it up and expose it, that the male should mount them. The chesiv, like it says, a pasuk in Mishlei, v'hine isha l'krasim, behold, that a woman comes to meet him. We're continuing to the top of Nandala and Aleph. Shis zayna, exposed like a harlot. And that's the acronym of shechuzes, which is shis and zayna, that she's exposed like a harlot when it's sari slave and it surrounds the heart. So there we see that the word shechuzes is from the word shizayna, that it means an exposing, and that was the third pshat of related to levuvin, that levuvin meant to say to stop the males from mounting the females, and shechuzes was to expose her genitals, that the male, the ram, should mount the ewes and thereby come to it. And that was the same idea, the ration of the seifa was regarding if the males are mounting the females or not.